Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Rob Wick, status ex Despacito, and with me I have...
Oh hey, I'm here after all because my flight got changed, so this is kind of awkward, but whatever.
And...
So if Little Squad part of the universe now, it's like a show or some shit now. Okay, yeah, I'm confused now.
Don't ask me to like thread that whole together. I'm still trying to figure out how White Cornell technically exists.
Well, they heard that. Well, maybe caught with Tucker show that he that first he wanted to use a white one, but he said he said use a black one. Because they need to be like a black one or some shit like that. Like, yeah, I think it's sort of like an inside joke, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I do know that like the original version of the jellies on like Tyler's Golf Media app had a white Cornell. I mean, that's why he was making a big deal about it, that this new version would have a black Cornell. If y'all remember that amazing rant from Comic-Con a few years back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nobody remembers Fillmore.
Yeah, that's sad but true.
But yeah, the gang is all here unexpectedly, so I suppose we should probably get into, you know, we're in episode 130 and get into some formalities. So how's everything been going with you guys lately?
Well, rough days at work. But fear not, for it'll all be worth it because I'll have just enough to keep my bills paid. And other than that, well, I spent my last 2 days off cleaning my house because reasons.
Yep.
When you have 6 cats, you have a lot to clean up.
That's a lot of cats.
Yeah, but I also managed to find some time to go out to the movies. Sadly, not to a... John Wick Chapter 3, I still gotta catch up.
Dude.
I know. I got 2 years until John Wick Chapter 4 comes out, at least.
Hell yeah!
Yeah. So I instead spent my night watching Detective Pikachu. It was fine, I guess. Too many stupid people in it, though. Yeah.
What, like in the audience or the movie itself?
In the movie.
Ah.
Same problem I have with Bumblebee. Too many human people who are either stupid or awful.
I know, right? Why couldn't they let Psyduck talk?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the movie yet. I might see it this weekend.
It's serviceable, I guess. But hey, by the time I'm listening to this, I'll be in the not-so-sunny part of California for family stuff. Yay!
Fun.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, a change of scenery is sometimes good. There's not a guarantee it'll be good here, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Mark, what about you?
So let's see. I had a lot of busy days at work. Like, I've been working harder than usual because of something, because I do work in a Walmart. But hey, you know, at least get some major cash. In one way or another. And, okay, and since we're not going to talk about it, I did go to the movies, and I did see a certain somebody named John Wick. And man, this shit was awesome. So many fucking creative ways of how he kills motherfuckers. Let's say, never ever shout the phrase "eat a dick to a dog."
Oh man, you know what? Maybe I'll just go see that movie again. Like, screw Detective Pikachu, man.
And I will say, despite that, it was the second most brutal thing that happened this weekend.
Oh my god! Wow. Yeah. Hey, Logic.
Yeah, man, Mac DeMarco as well. Yeah,
they both got red flanneled.
And I guess because I know that DeMarco, Mac DeMarco worked on that Supermarket album soundtrack whatever. I think it's like, well, shit, because he had a cover too.
The last time I heard that many L's get delivered to one guy in a row was Kid Cudi.
So I guess we can expect Logic to bounce back with an awesome 22-minute collaboration album in like 3 years.
Hopefully.
I mean, I guess, but who's he going to collaborate with?
Yeah, like, who going to link up with?
I don't know. Fucking... I actually don't have an answer for that. But we'll just have to wait it out at this rate.
Yep.
Alright, cool. Anyway, as for me, yes, aforementioned John Wick Chapter 3. Highly recommend go seeing that movie in a theater with a top-tier sound setup. You can feel every shotgun blast and horse kick rumble through your bones. And seriously, like, can we just talk about the fact that the second major fight of that movie is basically just straight up the climax of Stardust Crusaders? Fucking knives everywhere.
So many knives.
Literally, they're fighting in the guns and knives store. That's so goofy, it's brilliant. But aside from that, I did have one major thing to take care of, because we over at the radio station dealt with round two of actually cleaning things up in there, specifically going through the archives of all our CDs and giving it the Thanos treatment. Actually, I'm pretty sure we gave it more than the Thanos treatment, because we were aiming for, like, getting rid of 80% of the old CDs that we weren't using. And, oh, man, let me tell you, there was a lot of shit in there. Like, I think I may have already shown Alex, like, just how big our biggest shelf is. Like, and that's just stuff we're not using. There's, like, two other shelves of CDs that's stuff that we grab from more frequently for swapping out. And, like, when we were digging, we were finding all kinds of shit. Like, we found, like, two Puffy AmiYumi CDs, one of which was all their soundtrack stuff from their cartoon shows. We found this movie soundtrack for that shitty-ass film Stealth. I don't know if you remember that one. It's the one where, like, the
US builds, like, the one with Incubus.
The fucking on stealth the... bomber that, like, goes insane and kills people. The movie sucked. What else? There was the Frankenweenie soundtrack. There was some Napalm Death and Neurosis. A bunch of, like, Rise Against and Parkway Drive for some reason. We even found, and I almost wanted to take this for myself, admittedly, but we found Dexter's Laboratory, The Hip Hop Experiments.
Oh, nice. Oh yeah, that's the one where Will.i.am was in there, because he used to do some stuff for that. Yeah. Remember, he did that answer my check. Which still bothers my mind.
Yep, Will.i.am, Coolio, De La Soul, Prince Paul, YZ, and Fife Dog.
Oh shit, okay.
Wild times. Shit, I'm pretty sure we even found like two different Halo 4 soundtrack CDs. Yeah. I don't know why that's there, but you know, for people who like Halo, there's something interesting there. And shit, that was basically about it. So yeah, worked on that, and so... Now with all the formalities out of the way, we can jump into our usual nonsense, starting, of course, with the new song discussions. So, as always, there's a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with these miscellaneous takes and songs that we're having takes on. So first off, let's talk about anime. Anime is great, isn't it? Anime is the only place where you can see Thundercat performing a concert as basically a muscular prisoner version of himself, and...
Oh, man. That was even more.
Netflix. Wait, hold up.
Sorry. My producer is telling me that we're actually supposed to be talking about Amine.
Oh, that guy. I want
to talk about Thundercat.
We all want to talk about Thundercat, but Netflix is blue-balling us hard. Unfortunately.
Really hard.
Soon. Damn. But, yeah, to get to the actual song here, this Amine fellow... has released a new track called Places Plus Faces. And, you know, for an Amine song, it's okay. I mean, it's one of those touring life and being a recording artist is really difficult on me kind of songs. You know, he hits the usual stuff about, like, you know, oh, I missed a couple dinners, a lot of birthdays. His little cousin is now tall, best friend in a jail cell. Text from his dad, FaceTiming mom from the Eiffel Tower. That kind of generic stuff. The beat's a lullaby, which I guess works okay with the vaguely sentimental setup of the song. I can kind of take or leave it, though.
it's really quite, you know, quite generic. Like in the whole how and the whole, you know, I made it. I'm tour of the world, even though I miss my people back at home. It's like, is that sort of song? Like, I get I can get why he would make something like that. Like, I sort of get that shit. I mean, it's a decent track. It's a decent track from Aminé, which, okay. Alright, like, I could, you know, I could take a leave of it as well. Like, yeah, it's okay.
But now to move on to not one, not two, but four people linking up on the same track. You know, it's still hip-hop, so obviously Mark has to take over here, because it's his boys, man. Two of them. Possibly three, I don't know. Numbers.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, three. So, I remember how I keep on liking the group, the people at the Griselda, a.k.a. you got West Side Gun, Conway the Machine, and Benny the Butcher. Yes, doesn't got named Benny the Butcher. And recently, I heard that they have a new album coming out, probably soon this summer. Although it's the first release on Shady Records, which I'm quite afraid of, because, well, like I said, Shady, because, I don't know. But anyway, they got this one on track, and they share it with one legendary hip-hop DJ, that is DJ Premier. With this new one-off track, Headlines. And I gotta say, if you know DJ Premier, which a lot of hip-hop heads would say, oh, you know Premier, you know that Premier beat. If you know, it'd be some boom-bap shit, some scratches, all that shit, like all the shit that most hip-hop heads that love that shit will love this. Like, and we'll say that the, you know, the bar's pretty fat. We'll say, even though I like West Side Gun, I still think Conway and Benny delivered more bars. They kind of got to me, like how each crowd said, like, oh, if we beefing, we ain't gonna do the Twitter shit. We gonna be for real, like that type of shit. And I have gone back to mostly West Side Guns, but I'm working up on Conway and being the Butcher, but yeah, I'm definitely feeling this. Feeling this track. Like, this is definitely some, like, that classic hip hop shit that most hip hop fiends would go for.
Yep, pretty much. Now, moving on from that to a name I have not heard in a long time. If you want to know how long, I'm talking about back in the days when Guitar Hero and Rock Band were culturally relevant. I'm talking about The Hives. Yes, The Hives have apparently released their first new song in like 4 years. I didn't even know they were still going past 2010.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Obviously, stuff slips under the cracks. So, yeah, possibly a new album down somewhere in the pipeline. But we got this new song to deal with called I'm Alive. And it's ultra repetitive. I mean, basically, like, it spends the whole time pushing a 6-8 stomping tempo, the guitar chords heavily writing the downbeats in this very simplistic fashion. Like, literally, it's da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, occasionally there's that triplet chord strike, you know, that and the drums as well. Little bit more of a shuffle in the choruses, plenty of big church bells in there. But other than that, like, once you've heard, like, the first 20 seconds of the song, you've basically heard the rest of it. It's fine, I guess? It's not offensively bad. It's just, like, there's not a lot of meat there for me to latch on to.
Yeah, same, very much the same. This is just really dull and monotonous. It just loops way too much, and there's just, like, no energy to it. And, I mean, this is The Hives. I expect them to bring in that super intense energy. After all, this is the band that told us that fall is just something that grown-ups invented. Where's that? Come on.
Sadly, we'll have to go back to whatever that album is. I actually don't know shit about The Hives outside of this and Main Offender. You know, the most rudimentary-ass song in the history of Rock Band. Or one of them, anyway. But while we're on the subject of video games, let's move on to briefly a tangent about Devil May Cry. Apparently everyone's enjoying Part 5, and recently news slipped through the cracks that Capcom might be interested in Team Ninja Theory taking another stab at the reboot continuity. Now, if you maybe remember that game in some way, you know, if you're not frothing at the mouth because they disgraced my poor Dante.
Yeah, we know. You're the only person on the planet who likes DMC. We get it.
And I will ride that hot take into my grave, sir. But, yeah, one thing that most people probably remember about that is the battle theme by Combi Christ. And I'm not just saying that because it's significantly better than the battle theme that was in DMC 5. What the fuck were you thinking, Suicide Silence? Didn't get any better when they brought the guy from Volumes in to do the vocals. Blech. But, yeah, we bring that up because Combi Christ has got a new album coming out next month, in fact. June 7th, it's called One Fire. And we have a new track here called Understand. Now, if you do know yourself some Combi Christ, it certainly is, a lot of it is familiar territory, although you might be thrown off a bit because it opens up with these kind of grungy sort of post-punk guitar leads and vocals that kind of sound like, I don't know, somewhere between like David Bowie and Publicist UK, take your pick. Then eventually the buzzy triplet grooving synth kicks in, the four on the floor drums, the light hi-hat accentuations, of course those digital distorted screams. Finally, right around the 3-minute mark, and for the record, the song is like 6 minutes, that's when the full band finally kicks in. And I gotta admit, this is where I have a problem with the song, because like it takes way too long to vamp up to that kind of huge explosion of aggro industrial energy. It kind of feels like you're just waiting there. It's like, I'm falling asleep. Oh, okay, there it is. And then it kind of doesn't keep up that momentum much, because, like, pretty much immediately right after that, there's kind of, like, a brief droning bridge. Then, like, kind of the stuff comes back in, but there's a little bit more of a solo section. And then there's, like, another verse after that, and it's just, there's not really a strong sense of pacing here. Like, that's probably one of the worst things you could say about, like, a song like this, when it's overwhelmingly build up to, like, an unsatisfying climax. You know what I mean? It's like the Turbo Lover problem, if you remember that Judas Priest song.
Oh. Yeah. This is just, this goes on way too long. This is what, 6.5, almost 7 minutes? I'm listening to this, and while I'm completely bored out of my mind, all I'm thinking about is that this is just a boring, half-baked Ministry song.
And that's a bad thing to say, because I don't know if you've been hearing their Ministry's material recently, but...
yeah, and why does the singer want to look like Till Lindemann from Rammstein?
You know, he's got to, you know, he's got to bring in those numbers, man. I mean, Rammstein's probably bringing in those numbers. What's a piece of the pie?
Well, it's not working for him, because this sucks.
Yeah. But anyway, let's move on from that to this past week's entry in the Adult Swim Singles program. This coming from another producer-composer named Kelly. This one being from Kelly Moran. And I think this might be off an EP that actually already released. Because I think this like came out on last Monday, but whatever. Song here is called Lovebirds, Nightbirds, Devilbirds. And pretty much the overwhelming bulk of the song is chimes, bells, all kinds of pitched percussion just kind of clanking along. Hell, it kind of sounds like my backyard on, like, a very windy morning. I think, like, every neighbor on my block's got, like, some kind of, like, pitched chime or something. It just kind of, like, hangs there for, I guess, decoration. And then the wind blows, and then you just hear, like, you know, the sounds going off. It's all that stuff. And there's a little bit of a buzzing synth that enters the song halfway through, which does add a bit of body to it, but still, the overwhelming mix of this is, like, you know, chimes, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was, like, metronomes in there as well. It's, you know, it is what it is. Like, it's obviously, like, a more acquired taste than some, but it certainly sounds nice enough a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it definitely sounds nice. It doesn't sound like, you know, like some wind chimes on a very windy day. Like, I think I do experience that once, like hearing wind chimes in somebody's house, and like, okay, this sounds kind of soothing. It did. It's almost kind of very, I don't know the word for it. I want to say something like it's very very gazy, like something gazy. I don't know the right word for it, but it's definitely something you get caught in its range, lullaby trance until you get more further in where it's all got, you know, very sippy and all that shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, now to move on to, look at that, even more collaborative hip-hop of a particularly boom-bap-ish persuasion. We're getting a lot of that lately, it seems.
Yep. And it comes from Retro Underground and Kool Keith. That's new. I'm coming out July 14th, which is called, July 12th. It's called Keith. Just Keith. And
makes sense.
And I say, you know, he says he gives zero fucks. There's a title called Zero Fucks, which features Cypress Hill's own Be Real. And yes, I gotta say, but yes, this is definitely some boom bap shit with a little sprinkle touch to it. Like, if you know much about Kool Keith, I won't say Keith Dayton. What the fuck? Anyway, if you know much about Kool Keith, you know, he's still got very interesting weird twist to it. And okay, the rules of the world, B-Rail doesn't real, and like production doesn't production, which is from, it's my name, Sucker List of the Beatnuts, which, that's the name I ain't heard since I was 10, like, shit, I remember hearing them motherfuckers on Rap City every other day whenever it comes on BET, back when they show music videos. But yeah, this is a very, it's a cool song I can bump to. It's very, you know, bumble to that. You know, people who do love that boom bap. Like, yeah. If you love boom bap, you probably get a kick out of this.
Indeed. And I'm now moving on from that to the second of three albums that are actually coming out July 12th. It's a unique trifecta there. So we had a new Tycho track not too long ago, and now we got a new one here that accompanies the announcement of an album proper. His latest project, Weather, is coming out July 12th, and it's actually a full-on collaboration with the vocalist Saint Sinner, as that continues on with this new single here called Pink and Blue. And it certainly sounds like something that's going for, like, a broader audience. Like, it opens with this kind of serene electronic drone with a beat that's very reliant on, like, these more minimal bleeping synths and, like, the verses and whatnot. The sort of minimal but still catchy and groovy, like, drum samples and bass, you know, lines and everything. And it definitely feels like everything is more streamlined back, so you can focus a lot on Saint Sinner's particular vocal style here, which, you know, she's that kind of, you know, sort of minimal, haughty, like, it kind of feels like it would be at home with, like, sort of a lot of the modern, like, kind of pop EDM kind of stuff. Except, you know, all the elements here are actually good and significantly less obnoxious than what is actually getting popular. In fact, I would dare say this pretty much is, like, the good version of what a Chainsmokers song ought to be. You know, in the weird universe where a good version of the Chainsmokers exists. But yeah, okay. I like it. You know, poppier end of the Tycho spectrum. It's, you know, catchy, good vocals. Yeah, I'm interested.
So now you mentioned that'd be the good. I'd be like, okay, this is something. If this is a better version of a Chainsmokers song, it's not obnoxious. I'm not sick of it. It doesn't feel synthetic or easy. It doesn't feel hope. And this was synthetic that I don't like it. And yeah. I like this track. I even like the video of it. Like, cause I do like the. Do like the visual though, just going for like the whole, you know, pink and blue, like the whole pink and blue vibe, which is like, okay, which has an interesting color going for it. Which, yeah, the song's cool, the video's cool, it's all good.
Yeah, pretty chill synth wavy pop with a video that is, chock full of that excellent by lighting. And I'm left curious with what else Tycho and whoever he's collabing with have in store for all of us.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see until July 12th. which again brings us one last big surprise, and this was a pleasant surprise, you know, to see just pop up randomly in my YouTube sub box while, you know, browsing. So it looks like coming from my neck of the swamp, the guys in Torch have announced their newest studio album, Admission, again coming out that day, and we have the lead-off single, Slide. Now, the band has gone through a couple, well, they've gone through a lineup change. They've added Eric Hernandez to fill in on the bass, while former bassist Jonathan Nunez has now switched to guitars. But you wouldn't really notice that because the song is pretty much firmly in sort of the usual Torch camp, in that it's a very, like, deliberately slow, you know, slow-paced song with very fuzzy, low, sludgy guitars and bass, driven by these very fat, thickly produced drum grooves, you know, courtesy of one of the better drummers in the area, Rick Smith. He's a cool guy. I believe I played a show, one of his other projects, my band played a show with once. I don't think I've ever said more than three words to the guy, but that's unrelated. Of course, the vocals, as always, they're that very serene, kind of clean, that kind of plays well off the, you know, muddy but kind of major key-ish chord progressions of the song, very heavy in the reverb. You know, it's all that, you know, very quaint, serene sort of sludge. And, you know, I really liked Restarter, so it sounds like I'm really going to enjoy what they're doing here.
Yeah, this track is pretty sludgy and fuzzy, so it's got that going for it. It's all right. I'm inclined to check out more.
But now we must move out of the month of July. Because we're going to be going on to at the end of August, August 30th, which, for the record, be prepared for me to get really fucking obnoxious in the month or so leading up to it. We finally have the official announcement and confirmation. The guys in Slipknot will be dropping their latest studio album titled We Are Not Your Kind. And to coincide with that album announcement, we have the single and music video for the album's, I believe it's the second track, but I think that there's like an intro, but anyway, so yeah, the new song here called Unsainted, which of course has a music video that unveils all of the new masks. But before that, let's actually talk about the song itself, which intros with this kind of ominous, kind of Twilight Zone-ish synthetic noise, this ominous, like, choir vocal thing singing the main melody that Corey does throughout all the verses. Eventually, like, he does come in on the song, and of course, Jay Weinberg on the drums pounding pretty hard on a solid groove. Then that ever so naughty fucking, like, fucking, you know, hard-hitting, the riffs, the drums, the tremolos and shit. It's as fucking slamming and huge sounding as it gets, fucking driving hard as hell, you know, every aspect of it just sounds perfectly on point. There's definitely, like, that bouncier part of, like, you know, that sort of almost kind of definitely made for radio kind of chorus, which is pretty solid enough, although maybe personally I would prefer, like, straight heavy here. There's definitely some major switch-ups in there, like a pretty big-sounding halftime groove with, like, this kind of slow-proceeding guitar line. And, of course, Sid Wilson bringing in the creepy DJ scratches and everything. It's definitely got a lot of elements that are on par with, like, you know, as Corey himself has said, like, Iowa and Volume 3, especially the fucking, like, hard-hitting blast beat parts. And, yeah, pretty much everything sounds, like, as on point as it could be. I even like how it sounds like Jay Weinberg is finally coming into his own and letting a little bit more of his own style kind of, you know, play into the song. Because as much as I liked Point 5, I gotta admit, it kind of sounded like, it kind of had, like, the same deal as, like, a dramatic turn of events, where it sounded like Mike Mangini was playing, like, Mike Portnoy parts. Yeah. But instead of sounding like Joey Jordison, it sounds like he's bringing some cool stuff in there, especially with how he emphasizes, like, the offbeat cymbal accentuations and those really big halftime grooves and everything. So, yeah, the song is pretty much banging on all fronts. So, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, I know what you mean by saying that. It sounds like the drum tracks were written before he got into the studio. But, yeah, with this, there's more of Weinberg style going into the track, which... You also made a good point. It sounds like a blend of the heaviness of Iowa with the melody of Volume 3. I heard a lot of duality, mainly in the chorus. It has that same very anthemic kind of melody to it, you know, in between the heavier verse sections. This track took a while for me to grow on. It didn't hook me off the bat like All Out Life did, which, yeah, that was just a one-off single, it's not on the album.
Which is really weird to me, because that's where they got the album title from it. So, like, you're not going to put that on the... Is this going to be, like, the thing we harp on with, like, how Anderson .Paak hasn't put Bubblin' on an LP yet?
maybe it'll be, like, a bonus track on a special edition or something. But, yeah, track's pretty good. And, yeah, August 30th. I wonder what else comes out that day.
I don't know. What does come out that day?
Tool.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. God damn, every metalhead's going broke that day.
Yeah, and it's going to be a good end of the month, that's for sure. Now we just got to wait.
And in the meantime, that leaves enough time for speculations and rumors, because as we mentioned, the music video unveiled, you know, all the new masks and stuff. And, you know, all due respect, Corey, I think you got to go back to, you know, that Rick Baker dude and tell him to give you a more detailed mask. I mean, I understand you want, like, practicality in that thing when you're singing, but it kind of feels like he should have done more with it, with his pedigree and everything. But yeah, I'm just going on this tangent because, you know, speaking of which, Jay Weinberg and, God, what's the bass player? Alessandro Venturella, I think that's his name, I hope I'm getting it right, they obviously now have new masks and shit, you know, actual masks that convey an identity of some kind, and they do look pretty cool. But a lot of people are paying attention to whoever the mystery new percussionist is in the video, who, for the record, has, like, that same nondescript, generic maggot mask sort of thing that, you know, Alessandro and Jay did when they first joined the band. So that leads a lot of speculation, you know, with Chris Fenn being out amidst all the lawsuits and shit. And there's just rumors flying everywhere. Shit, I even heard that Zach Hill from Death Grips is the new percussionist, which, could you imagine? That'd be fucking nuts.
Yeah, that would be weird, but it wouldn't be too out of the ordinary. And as for my take on the masks, I was never too big on the whole mask thing to begin with. It's part of their identity and gimmick, so whatever. Personally, I liked Corey's All Hope Is Gone era mask, but yeah, you do what you do.
That is some peak mask.
Yes, and condolences to Clown Shaw Crahan's family, because his youngest daughter passed away recently.
22 years old.
Very tragic. Yeah.
But, yeah, condolences, and that finishes all the song discussion. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, there is news. News. News.
News.
And we're back. So first up, let's talk about HBO, a network which John Oliver had once described as being completely fucked. And I don't know if y'all have seen Twitter these past 48 hours, but yeah. Is there, like, something worse than shooting yourself in the foot?
Leaving a bottle of water in camera sight?
That too.
But hey, something like 19 million people tuned in across all platforms, so yay, records, I guess.
Then they're going to see
again.
Half
of those people unsubscribed.
This is why I watch basketball. Someone's always happy with basketball, and well, considering that came in double overtime, I was very happy.
But, I mean, HBO's apparently got a bunch of other stuff in the pipeline. We got a trailer for season 3 of Westworld. Apparently, they're still doing Barry. There's this thing called Chernobyl that's apparently really good. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, one of their big upcoming projects is called New Pope, which is from Paolo Sorrentino and is a follow-up to his previous series, Young Pope. As for New Pope, I have not seen Young Pope. I'm not sure if I'll see New Pope. Personally, I prefer Pope Classic. See, the joke is like Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
You guys get it. But, yeah, so the currently gestating sequel series, you know, it follows up on the young pope becoming a new pope. And one of the big, you know, revealed casting decisions here is that apparently Marilyn Manson will have a significant role in this new series. He's acting alongside other newcomer Sharon Stone, as well as John Malkovich and Jude Law, the latter of which who played the Pope in the previous series. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for those of you that I guess are interested in your anthology Pope drama things with a, you know, washed up has-been shock rocker, then, you know, I'm sure that's someone's niche as far as HBO subscriptions.
Yeah, I mean, apparently this is a big deal. It's a co-pro between Sky in the UK, Canal Plus in France, and HBO here in America.
Wait, Canal Plus, isn't that the channel that aired Code Lyoko? Or am I thinking of Canal J?
One of those channels.
I don't know.
But, yeah, apparently the Young Pope got a good bit of acclaim back when it aired a couple years ago, so... this might be cool to see for those of you who are into all that kind of peak TV stuff. Though, personally, I would just spend my time going back to watch shows like The Wire and The Sopranos, both of which had solid endings. But I guess...
There's Breaking Bad, too.
Yes, that too. Although, Aaron Paul might be in Westworld Season 3, which is pretty cool.
Maybe I should finally watch Westworld.
Yeah, as for me... I'll just stick to shows like The Wire, The Sopranos, Oz, 6 Feet Under. You know, back when peak TV meant something and it wasn't just a catchphrase. Back when HBO was worth paying for.
You could get George Carlin stand-up specials in those days.
Yeah. Well, now I got them on Amazon, so, you know. And also on every music platform there is, because the man was speaking the truth. And y'all didn't listen. Now look where we are.
Clearly. You know, I keep passing...
We're worse than chickens!
I don't know if you've seen, like, maybe in a media store somewhere, but I keep passing by this in, like, my local Best Buy, where they have, like, a Blu-ray set of, like, his complete works, like, all his stand-up specials and audio CDs and shit, the complete George Carlin collection. And I keep thinking, I gotta buy this shit, man. But I never have $60 on me.
I'll have to keep an eye out for that.
But anyway, moving on from that to some tour announcements. Well, a tour announcement. In this case, it's just about time for the Metalheads to start wailing and gnashing their teeth, or singing rapturous praise, depending on the person you're talking to, because we officially have the announcement for the 2019 iteration of the Summer Slaughter Tour, starting July 20th in Denver, Colorado, and running all the way through August 14th in Los Angeles, California. So, looking at the lineup we got here, a pretty big deal here is that it'll be the first time the tour has ever done an alternating triple headliner sort of deal. So, your three acts that are going to be rotating the top bill each night are Cattle Decapitation, Carnifex, and a version of the Faceless. Rounding out the rest of the bill here, as the announcement currently stands, we have Rivers of Nile. Necrogoblicon, Lorna Shore, and Brand of Sacrifice, as well as special guests to be announced for each date, which we could presume means, like, you know, local bands opening up for each city stop, which, you know, is always cool for this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I continue to kick myself in the shin because the one time Summer Slaughter came to Charlotte, Periphery was on the bill, and I... regrets. So many regrets. And now the venue's been gentrified into some kind of weirdo niche bar thing with, like, a stage for 50 people capacity. It sucks.
Yeah, and they're skipping Florida this year. That's the thing with Summer Slaughter. It's always like there's a 1 in 3 chance of like them actually coming down here. And you can never really tell when that's going to be. Because obviously this is one of those scenarios where, you know, we always joke that like the Summer Slaughter sort of ping-pongs back and forth between the true cult extreme metal years. And then immediately going to, oh, hey, look, we have a year with like BT Bam and Veil of Maya type bands and Born of Osiris and shit. So, you know, kind of back and forth between, like, that Sumerian aesthetic and the true death metal. But even then, it almost seems like the Sumerian-fueled kind of things always come to Florida more often than they don't. But even then, that's not a guarantee. It's like, who's organizing these routes? Is it this actual melting demon guy here? You know, the mascot who's always telling me that he caught a fish this big? You know, but whatever, it is what it is. So, to all you kids in the specified cities and locations, have fun with your extreme metal that we rest of us have to wait out for individual tours and shit. But until then, we'll just have to keep ourselves continuously amused with, that's right, even more Woodstock 50 updates. And there have been some turns. Oh boy, have there been some turns.
There has been quite a swerve in this whole thing. And it's not one that we were really much hoping for, but here's the short story. Representatives from Dentsu-Aikis and Michael Lang's representatives went to court last week to decide to hash things out. And, well, the Supreme Court of the state of New York has sided with Michael Lang in that Dentsu-Aikis had really no recourse to cancel the event. However, the Supreme Court of the state of New York is not going to enforce Dentsu-Aikis to return the nearly $18 million that they took back, mostly because I guess there's only so much that this guy can do. I mean, after all, $18 million, that's a lot of money, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, hell, there's been quite a lot of movies that exist out in the world that have been made for $18 million. You know, just a brief example of some of the ones. Stuff like Borat, you know, a pretty classic, modern classic of comedy. Mm-hmm. The Mask, you know, Jim Carrey classic. Ooh, Austin Powers, Bad Santa. Classic.
Yeah.
And even fucking Norm of the North. You screwed up so bad with this whole logistics and planning that you, Michael Lang, lost the budget of one of the most disposable, shitty animated films ever made.
Yeah, even some of the people on the bill are just sort of laughing at this whole situation, with one such, John Mayer, pretty much saying that this whole thing reminds him of the scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail where the Black Knight is just getting dismembered and he just keeps getting up because he's going, just a flesh wound. I'm invincible. That's pretty much Michael Lang. You got your funding cut, yet you insist on going forward.
You stubborn bastard.
Stubborn.
You're missing half a leg.
And just to add a little bit more to this whole thing, Mark Kasowitz, you know, the lawyer, said as part of his case in court that the festival is broke and needs the money within days to stage the festival, which is supposed to take place in less than 3 months. I'm going to keep mentioning this. This is really messy.
Yeah, I know. Well, yes. And like, I'm trying to remember, like, what's the average as far as like how often do festivals start selling out tickets ahead of time?
Well, if you're a popular festival like Download, immediately.
Yeah, like, but, like, however many months out, I think usually they get at least 4 months out when they start selling the damn things. Maybe even 6 if it's something like Coachella or Lollapalooza.
Yeah, yeah, for stuff like that, or Bonnaroo, or Outside Lands, you're gonna get tickets on sale months in advance, and by then, well, these are competent festivals. They're going to get their permits in place, which, for the record, they still don't have them.
Ah, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. And Michael Lang said this in a statement published by Billboard. Quote, "We have always relied on the truth and have never lost faith that the festival would take place. I would like to thank all the talent and their representatives for their patience and support. Woodstock 50 will be an amazing and inspiring festival experience." And I assume part of this whole core situation is that Dentsu Aegis has been barred from speaking to the press or vendors about this whole thing. So I guess it's a bit of a hush clause. And you know, there's just something really messed up about a festival priding itself on, you know, peace and love, man. Where I see a picture of comedy writer Alan Zweibel, executive director of Headcount, Andy Bernstein, Common, Michael Lang, and John Fogerty giving a peace sign underneath the headline, "Woodstock 50 out of money, judge decided investor must continue." That's how bad it's gotten.
Wait, that was John Fogerty?
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, so how are they going to pull this off? It seems as though they found a new financial partner, Oppenheimer and Company.
You can always trust the name Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer and Company.
And let's just take a look and see if I can find anything that they've done. Because I feel like this might be, well, it's going to be one of two things. It's going to be nothing and boring, or it's going to be a kablooey situation. And apparently all I'm finding is just a bunch of boring business stuff. So, peace and love, man.
I did a business.
Peace and love. Yes. Ah, motherfucker.
Yes. Now, this firm has not disclosed how much money they're putting into the festival. Remember, they said they needed $30 million for this whole thing to go on. Because a lot of the artists have been paid. I'm going to keep hammering this in. This is stupid. And that's as far as we know right now. They're being very hush-hush on this whole thing. But you never know. We might get another update in like a week that might just cause my head to explode because there's only so much of this I can take.
We're so close, man. We're like,
yes, we're very close. It's either going to happen and it's going to go like a normal festival, or it's going to be such a fantastic train wreck of an event that, well, just remember Woodstock 99. Remember the fires. Remember the vendors getting, well, very greedy. Remember the heat. Remember all the mistakes. Because we don't forget.
No. No, we do not.
Yeah. No one ever forgets.
Worth noting, you can find plenty of high-quality Woodstock 99 footage on YouTube.
Ooh, I gotta make a playlist of that someday. So I can watch on my own time.
Yeah. But don't watch the Red Hot Chili Peppers performance in public. I'm just saying. There's nudity involved. Ew. From Flea.
Ew.
Well, I mean, who didn't see that coming?
In other words, not safe for work.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just Woodstock. You're getting high and you're playing bass, but your junk hanging out.
Yeah, it sounds like Chili Peppers, all right.
Yep.
So, yeah, clock's ticking. 3 months. I'm sure everything will be fine. Yeah, that basically does it for those Woodstock 50 updates and the news as a whole. So now to take care of the last bit of proper business here, and that's new album releases for May 24th, 2019. Starting at the top, we have the newest one from Flesh God Apocalypse with Veleno. We got a new one from a lo-fi rocker Sebado with Act Surprised. There's a collaborative project between Travis Barker and Suicide Boys with Live Fast, Die Whenever. And, of course, most anticipated of all, the newest album from Mr. Flying Lotus with Flamagra. So now to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Well, as always, Aura of Azure, where you'll find plenty of fantabulous pics and videos of my California trip and whatever I find just want to talk about whenever I have some alone time. I'll have very little alone time, but you never know.
Right. Mark, what about you?
As usual, back to me on Twitter and, of course, on my site, my number one at one.wordpress.com. I might have something up this week. I don't know. I'm just making up some shit. So there you go. Quick surprise.
Noted. As for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and CuriousCat at Rob Barracuda. Email me at robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're notified when new stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website where you can find written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all those usual fun things. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can just post an endless supply of memes. And of course, a shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you all for listening this week. We'll, of course, be back next week as well. And, yeah, until next time, he killed 3 people with a pencil. A fucking pencil!
Well, he is a JoJo, canonically.
He looked cool with a horse.